tremendous blessing it is at this time of the year to be thinking about the great freedom that we have in America. And I hope you had a great Thursday. I had a tremendous 4th of July. And you know what? I'm glad God made it possible for us to live in the land of the free. And surely we want constantly to remember that in a land where the true God can be called God, and we want always to remember in God we trust, and we always want to remember in the land where Jesus is known from border to border as being God's beloved Son and our only Savior. Oh, how wonderful it is. And we thank God for the freedom that we have in America. But I want to tell you what, friends, when you compare that with the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ, there's just hardly any comparison because of the fact that Jesus frees us from sin. Jesus gives us the hope of living with Him forevermore. Tonight, I hope you can come back. I really enjoyed listening to Mike Richardson when he was here before. And I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight. And hopefully, he's going to be able to bring his wife and the two boys. Isn't that right, Tommy? And we get to see him. He's considering coming to work with us. And I really do appreciate him and so grateful that we'll have that opportunity. Let's fill the building. We've got so many people that are gone, but there are about 40 of them on their way back. Hopefully they'll be here this evening. I want to talk with you a little bit this morning then about freedom, freedom in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Joe, for reading. He said there's only two verses. Boy, they're powerful though, aren't they? Look at it, if you will, in John 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. You know, it's a great thing for people to believe on Jesus. We want to get everybody to believe on Jesus. I hope and trust there's not a single one in this building who would say today, you don't believe in Jesus Christ. I was talking to some folks last week whose son has married, and his son's got a child. But now that son has said, I don't even believe in God. He's quit going. Friend, what in the world is wrong with people who have experienced the great, wonderful blessings that's found in Jesus Christ and then give up? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue My word. You've got to do something. You not only believe, but you continue in My word. Then are you My disciples indeed. You're My followers. This is the way that it is seen. Because He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No wonder Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and in understanding. No wonder we read where Jesus said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is true. No wonder we read in the Word of God in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And friends, look what John the Apostle said in 1 John 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Why? Truth makes people free. Free in Jesus Christ. And then we read where the Bible says that Jesus told the apostles, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. This morning, for a few moments, we want to talk about truth that makes us free. And how we got that. Oh, how wonderfully good it is to see children growing, encouraging to us. Look at this sweet little girl over here. I tell you what, little Beth Lynn Grace. Grandma, she sure is sweet, isn't she? Hold her up a little bit there. Let everybody see this child. We gave money last week to help them with that. And, well, we're just tickled to death to see that little baby. And that baby now is grown. I've forgotten how much they said when the child was, for what, 1 pound in the medicine, 2 pounds, wouldn't it? And now she's weighing about, I guess, maybe 10 or 11 pounds. Okay, all right. Well, anyway, I like to see little babies grow. I like for them to do well. And I like for children of God to grow. You and I, as children of God, even though some of us are mighty old, I want to suggest to you this morning that we still need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's by knowing the truth, but then obeying the truth, that makes us free. Number one, freedom from sin and Satan certainly is a great blessing. In Romans 6, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Just stop and think about it. You're doing what that person that is your master wants you to do. That's what he's saying. In the Bible, in Galatians 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. People fall from the grace of God because they do not continue in the grace of God. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 6, that we are buried with him by baptism. We become new creatures in Jesus Christ our Lord. When should a young boy or girl obey the gospel? When they come to the age of accountability. They need what? They need to be free from sin. When they know what sin is. In Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is going to be eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord. Why should a person be baptized anyway? Just like those people in the day of Pentecost. What had they done? They'd sinned. What had they done? They'd killed the Son of God. In Acts 2 and verse 36, the Bible tells us there, then let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when people have crucified the Son of God, they need something. They need to be freed from that. They need forgiveness for that. No wonder the Bible tells us that Peter told them when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Even Saul was told by Ananias, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There are people in this audience this morning who are still slaves to sin. They are not in Christ. They're not free. We want them to be free. God wants them to be free. Thankfully, we learned something from the Bible that tells us how we can be free from sin. Freedom was not free. Isn't that interesting? How much did it cost to free you from your sins? You were bought with the price in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. A price was paid. Price was paid for you. A price was paid for me. No wonder in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, you're bought with the price. Be not ye the servants of men. You've been purchased by whom? Friend, you've been purchased by the Son of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to free you from sin. And Romans 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How are we going to get that? The only way is for us to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 John 4, beginning in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son. Whom did God send? He sent his only. His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Freedom. But it was not free. It cost. It cost the Son of God His own life to liberate us. In Luke 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus said, this is why I'm sent, to free you. And He did by giving His life upon the cross. He paid that awesome price. In John 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me. Jesus said, but I willingly do it, and I'm willingly doing it for you. Look what He says. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. But look what He said. I lay it down myself. He did that for you. He did that for me. How much did it cost us to be freed from our sins? It cost Him His life. He was willing to give Himself because He loved you and He loved me. Yes, in 1 Peter, Peter says in verse 18, for Christ also, and let me not do too hastily with that verse. Look at what it says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And He said that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We don't talk enough about it. Friend, freedom cost. It wasn't free. It cost Jesus His blood to make us free. He laid down His life, His life. He has suffered the most agonizing death. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered. He what? He suffered. Whom did He suffer for? Look at what the Bible says. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That He might free us. But it cost. It really cost so much. It gave His life. In Matthew 20, verse 20, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life, to give His life a ransom for many. First we learn, freedom was ours, not easily. It cost so much. Yet Jesus paid it in full. Jesus that day died for Guy McDaniel, an old sinner. Jesus loved me so much. He loves you. Those of you who still have not obeyed His gospel, young, middle-aged, or old, you're still in your sins. But He died so you might be freed, that you might have the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. Freedom must be maintained. I suggest you this morning, we've got to be careful about teachings that are false, going against that which brings about freedom. In Galatians 2 and verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might be bring us into bondage. There were members in the Church of Christ who have been saved from their sins, who are now children of God, but Now they're turning away from the truth. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. No wonder the elders are told in Acts 20, where Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesus, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Peter tells us, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And look what Paul said. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be a reject. Why? Because we've got to maintain freedom. We've got to maintain it pure, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. We must not be willing, therefore, willingly victims of false teachers. Isn't that interesting? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Want to hear what they want instead of what Jesus tells us in his precious word. We must pay the price of vigilance to make sure that we remain free. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What is it? John said, you do not have God if you do not continue and dwell in the teaching of Jesus Christ. But he said, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Freedom has limitations. Somebody says, I'm free, I can do anything I want to. No, you can't. Why can't you? Because the one who made you free is your master and Lord. And let me suggest to you in the third place this morning, friends, we must not abuse the grace of God through intentionally sinning. You know, when Paul was writing the grace of God over in the book of Romans, and the Bible says, he even says in Romans 3 verse 8, there are people that are reporting that I'm out here preaching. And I'm out here preaching the affirming and saying, let us do evil that good may come. Paul said, that damnation is just to those people. Why, look in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. After he had been talking about the manifestation of God's grace abundantly to all of those who are children of God, who continue faithfully in the service of the Lord, a question is asked, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And look what Paul says. Paul said, God forbid, literally meaning, may it never, never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, we're dead to sin. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Because we're dead to sin. Yes, freedom has its limitations. And finally, we must not use our freedom to offend our brother's conscience. One thing that Paul makes very clear, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I was in a meeting up in Valparaiso, Indiana, in that area. And I know I was at this elder's house, and he told me, he said that, I understand you play rook. And he said, you were playing with the deacon over at the deacon's house. I love to. He said, I think that's a sin. I said, what? It kind of reminded me of that preacher that we had from over in Africa. Never will forget him. Over at Weatherall, all of us over there, sitting there chewing our gum. He got up there and boy, he said, these people, everybody who's a Christian knows that it's a sin for a Christian to chew gum in the assembly. And everybody went like this, swallowed their gum. Tell you what, I'd never heard in my life where it was a sin for Christians to chew gum during the service. Boy, he said over there, he just didn't like that one bit in the world. Now, if you got any chewing gum, I don't mind, just keep on chewing as far as I'm concerned. But I tell you what, friends, there's just so many people that this guy that told me that afterwards went out and pulled out a cigarette. And he smoked a cigarette. And I'm thinking, how in the world could he criticize me for playing rook? And here is a man who's an elder smoking cigarettes. If I hadn't been so young, I would have done a little differently than I did. But anyway, we've got to remember this. And I wouldn't have dared play rook in his house. I wouldn't have offended him that way. No way. If he doesn't want to play, I won't push. I'm not going to push that. There are some things that, you know, we can forego, but if a person says that it's a sin, you got to find the scriptures that say that that is sinful. But we have to be careful about our weak brethren. Sometimes we fail to really let that guide us in all that we say and do. Take heed lest that by any means the slave of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12, but when you stand so against the brethren, wounding their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Sometimes it does. You do. You just have to bear with people. But suffice it to say, freedom comes with great responsibilities. No wonder we can thank God and glorify and be grateful to people who have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching men and women their responsibilities according to the truth. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, and when you sin against the brethren, though you wound their conscience. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Free! Who? Those in Christ. Free to do what? Whatever Christ says. Go forth and preach what? The gospel. Why? The gospel is God's power to save. If you're in this audience this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young, middle-aged, or old, you've met and you've reached the age of accountability, or you know what is right and you haven't done it. Why? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to live free from your sin? Don't you want to have salvation in the end? But there's only one way. The one who died for you tells you and tells me, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Come this morning, obey the gospel. When you do, you'll be forgiven of your sins. You'll be added to the kingdom of God. Yes, young man, young ladies, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, grandmothers, grandfathers, the gospel is God's power to save, but it cannot and will not save those who does not obey it. Remember Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Friend, if you're here and you're subject to the wonderful invitation of Jesus, Jesus is inviting you. Remember, He said, I gave my life. I gave my life for you. I ask you in conclusion, how can He, who's done so much for us, save you in eternity if you've never obeyed Him? He makes it clear. He that has confessed me, I will confess. He who's denied me, I will deny. The invitation of Jesus is great, it's marvelous. It's extended to you and to me. If you're subject anyway, won't you come and obey the Lord while together we stand?